Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and Deb Evans Consulting.com.
Well, this is the Deb Evans Consulting.com part of the show. How are you, AK?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I was just saying that, you know, we might hear dogs barking because, as everybody knows, you know, we're doing the show from our offices, which are in our homes, and there's a lovely mother deer and a fawn that's deciding they want to come in my front door.
Uh-oh.
Why they want to come through the front door when I've got 2 acres of property, knowing that there's 200 pounds of dogs in the house and the dogs have not seen them yet. So it could get a little exciting here.
Well, that's good. I have 3 dogs. I have Sarah's dog and Jeff's brother's dog and my dog here for the past 5 days. And Sarah's dog just left yesterday, so now we're down to 2. So we're lucky that it's not as loud as it had been at my house tonight.
Yes. And speaking of dogs, and all of this really does have some relevance, I sent you a tweet. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that video of the new online social site called PAC, and you need an invite to be part of it.
So
you'll have to look at the video. She talks about social media future. It's a young entrepreneur site, and she talks about the future of social media. But they started this talking about how to get excitement from a new social site. If you remember, I know you do, how Pinterest was and Google Plus, and you have to have an invite to be part of it. And it's like, I want an invite. I want to be part of this. Well, it's a new site called PAC, and I didn't even Google it yet to look to see what it looks like if I tried to enter it. But it is Facebook for dog lovers. So that's where you can go to a Facebook type of platform to post all the wonderful pictures about your dogs. So we'll have to get an invite.
Yeah, definitely. I'm writing that down for sure.
Okay. So what else? You've got a contest going on this week that you should share with everybody and how to vote.
Yes, I would be happy to share with everybody. I entered a Pinterest contest. So it was a pin it to win it contest by a furniture store local to me here in Baltimore, Maryland. And I had to design a room based on items or products, furniture that they had on their website. And then they picked 3 people, 2 people from what they called the plain Jane category and 1 person from actual professional designer category to be finalists. And then if you were selected as a finalist, there's 3 locations here, and they actually were going to get all the pieces for your room and kind of build your room or set up your room in one of the 3 stores. So I was selected as a finalist. So mine is in the store here at Kenilworth Mall in Towson, and the winner receives 2 pieces of furniture from the room they created. So I'm really hoping to win because I really use furniture. But the way that the winner is selected is by voting. So you can vote on Facebook by liking or sharing an album that's from the Facebook page of the furniture company, which is called Sukasa. And then you can repin a pin on Pinterest. And then people can go and they can vote in the store. And there's also voting done by the judges. So I actually, on my 2 Geeky Girls blog, I wrote a blog post about it a couple of days ago with all the links for voting. So if anybody is interested, I would really, really, really appreciate your votes. And you can just go to two, like the number two, so twogeekygirls.com, and look back a couple of days for the, it says, I missed my calling as an interior decorator, is the name of the blog post. Yeah, so I'm really excited. It's the voting only goes until June 15th, so it's not too much longer until I find out if I'm a big winner.
Good, good. Yeah, I saw it. It was a very nice design. Very cool.
Thank you.
Great, great way of using social media. I love it. What's and Pinterest. So we have a guest, and I know this is the youngest guest that we've had on our show. And it's Dana Slayton. Dana, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hello.
Good. And you're calling from a small town in Virginia, correct?
Yes, Mechanicsville, Virginia.
Yeah. We're, is it outside of Richmond?
Yeah, just about 15 minutes.
Okay. So, Dana, I think, you know, being, what, eighth grade? You're just eighth
yes.
grade? Okay, very good. So what we'd love for you to do is and AK and I know about your story and what you're doing, but go ahead and introduce yourself. Give us a little bit of history about who you are and what you're doing and how you love music and what you're doing with your music.
Okay, well, my name's Dana Slayton. I'm an eighth grader at Chickahominy Middle School, and one of my main passions in life is music, and I sing and I play the guitar, and I've been writing songs since about fourth grade. And recently, at the beginning of this school year, I was accepted into a program called People to People, and it's a program for student ambassadors. You're recommended by a teacher, and then you go through an application process where you have to submit various applications and go to interviews. And if you're accepted, the program this summer is called European Heritage, and it's a program that sends these selected students overseas for 3 weeks to seven different European countries. And it's a very experiential-based program based on learning about their various cultures and political situations in each of the countries through meeting various politicians and total cultural immersion. And it's a very it's been going on for many, many years, and lots of students love it, and I'm very excited to be a part of it this year. So this year, in order to fundraise to pay off the tuition is $7,000, in order to pay off that money, we decided that we were going to try and combine my love of music with my love of travel, and we created a CD with eight of my songs on it. I wrote eight songs, and I've written many songs, but I chose eight of them, and I put them on a CD, and we used some very simple recording equipment in our home to record this CD, and we had it duplicated and put to iTunes, and right now that's what we're doing to raise money for this tuition.
Okay, so now you say it's very simple equipment, but when you and I talked about it, and we're going to go through that whole recording process, it's not simple. I mean, you use a couple of different pieces of technology to just record the music, and then what I'd like to know, too, is, you know, what made you think and how did you get it on iTunes? So for the recording itself, you use music that you've already written. The songs
yeah.
that you've already written, you're familiar with, and you've composed. And so how did you actually record the soundtrack?
Yes. So for the recording process, we used two devices. We used a Zoom Handy recorder, and it's an older recording device. It's there are multi-track ones that exist, but this is one of the older one microphone. And basically what it does is it takes whatever sounds you record onto it and saves it to an SD card, and when you plug that into your computer, you can upload those MP3 files. So we used that recorder, and we used an iPod Touch for the second part. And what we would do is we would record the bass instrumental for whatever song it was. If it was a song that had a very strong guitar rhythm, then we would record the guitar first on both the Zoom recorder and on the iPod Touch, just voice memo setting. And we would save each of those recordings and use the recording on the iPod, plug in headphones to that so that I could listen to whatever instrument it was and sing the vocal part, which we would then record with the Zoom recorder. And we just sort of repeated that process using one instrument as a bass for the rest of the instrumental parts on the CD. And from there, we were able to upload the files to the computer and mix them accordingly.
Now, is the Zoom recorder one that, I swear, the one that I used to use, for recording conferences. It looks like a taser. Is that the one? It looks like it does. There, Lisa, and I see that Laurie is in the chat room, but we had a Zoom recorder and had these little wires at the top, and people used to come in and say, "What is that thing?" And say, "Oh, it's a Zoom recorder." And they go, "It's a taser." Is that what yours look like, Dana?
No, ours was more of just a little square. It had a little microphone in the top, but it was really small, kind of compact.
Okay, so then I think the one that we had was a newer version, but they're very powerful to be able to record and, you know, get that sound in there. So you said you used the iPod Touch as well.
Mm-hmm. That was to record, along with the Zoom recorder, just the bass instrument part, whatever instrument was very constant all the way through. That was easiest to sing to. We use that so I could listen to it as well.
So then you would be listening to iPod Touch in your headphones, listening to it while you were using the Zoom recorder for the vocals?
Yes, that's exactly what we would
do. Okay. So then after you did this, you also used a piece of software so that you can mix everything together. What was that?
The software is called MixPad, and it can be downloaded on the website for the organization, NCH, www.nch.com/au/mixpad. And what it does is you can upload the audio files, and the entire file is spread out before you with the level of the sound as a visual there. And from there, we were able to cut the various clips that were uploaded from the SD card from the Zoom and line them up so that all the beats were correct and that the vocals hit at the right points and such. And that was what that software was used for. It was actually, it's very useful, and it's very visual, so there's a lot of, it's very simple, so the manipulation is fairly easy to do on that.
So, I mean, I'm chuckling because you're saying very simple, and I can just see myself and AK. I don't know, but it doesn't sound so simple, does it?
I know. So, Dana, how did you learn to do all this, or kind of who was helping you with it, or is this just something that you've learned in, like, the music and stuff you've been doing all along?
The recording process was something new. We did a little bit of research beforehand on that, but a lot of it was we learned along the way when we downloaded the software. I mean, we read the manuals and everything about it, but a lot of the stuff we were able to figure out, oh, you can do this if we press this button and such. The musical aspect of it was mostly stuff that we'd learned throughout about the various different qualities of each of the instruments and how that would affect the recording. That was stuff we kind of already knew, but most of the actual technological stuff we learned along the way.
It's pretty good. That's very good.
I'm pretty technical, and I still am like, I really understand what you just said.
you baffled AK, that's really good. So you are now a geek. So we'll give you the geek tiara when we see you, Dana. So I also know that, so you've recorded the music, and you've used these different devices, the Zoom and the iPod. You also used a piece of software to make the cover art and the inserts, and you saved them as JPEGs, correct?
Yes, we used Storybook Creator, which is originally made for scrapbooking by Creative Memories, but it's very useful, and you can use it for a lot of different things. It's photo manipulation and text manipulation. And what we did is we took a picture for the album cover. We wanted to do something more abstract, because we'd seen a lot of those and we really liked those abstract sort of covers. And so we used a picture that we had found at an art exhibit. We went to a museum and my mom took a picture of a glass structure that she really liked. And we were able to take that picture, and using Storybook, we were able to change the color scheme to make it black and white and swirl the picture around so that it looked almost like a paint splatter. And from there, we were able to overlay the text on top of that and add different glows and brightnesses to each of the elements. And from there, we sort of created the album cover.
Very good. Have you used Storybook Creator before, AK?
I have not.
No, and I know in Computer Explorers, they've used that. I've not personally used it, but so it's their pick monkey. Now, you knew that you wanted to raise money, and you started putting all of this together. Talk about the time frame. I mean, this is a lot to learn and to do. I mean, how long did it take you to you know, record the music and make the album cover and understand all this? A couple days, a couple weeks?
To record the songs was definitely the longest taking part of the process. And we started that, we'd been talking about it since probably October, November, December. We wanted to do this CD, but we didn't seriously start recording things probably until early January. And from there, we would I had school in between, so we would record pretty much whenever we got the time. But we finished recording most of the stuff probably by the first week of April. But during spring break was where we actually wrapped up the CD. But it didn't take the full 5 months to do. I mean, we were record a day here and record a day there, but it wasn't as extensive a process as it sounds when you say it took until April. And for the cover art and the actual uploading, that took a couple of weeks to do because there was a lot more to figure out there.
Okay. So you knew you were going to do a CD and you put all this together. Was your original thought was that you were going to actually sell this as CDs? Or did you already decide that you were going to use iTunes?
We originally thought that we were going to post the CD to iTunes for the benefit of our family who lives far away from us.
Mm-hmm.
But the original idea was to make a hard copy CD that we would sell, because when we decided that the duplicating company we used, we would pay the money to get the CDs duplicated, but then I would receive all the profits from that. So that was the original good idea. Whereas with iTunes, there's a certain fee that's paid to iTunes every time someone buys it, so we don't get all of the money from that. But since we posted the CD to iTunes, a lot of people have really liked the convenience of it. So it's sort of grown to be more than just our extended family outside of the state, outside of the country, wherever they may be. It's grown to be a lot of kids from school who just find it much easier to press the button and hit download. It's just a lot easier for them. And I think that's a good thing. The convenience is good.
Well, yeah, and with iTunes, you can buy single tracks, or
yes,
you can buy all of them as an album. So now AK and I are familiar with iTunes because Blog Talk Radio goes to iTunes, but I did that through Blog Talk Radio in just a couple of clicks. I wouldn't know where to begin to say, oh, I want to upload my own music and be able to sell it. What's the process to do that? And what's the approval and how does that all work?
Mm-hmm. We used a website called TuneCore.com, and there are a lot of different sites available, but this one had a lot of flexibility in its options. And it had a lot of it set up so that there are annual package levels. And you can buy for various prices different ways to use iTunes that would best fit your personal needs. And what I chose to do was there's a basic plan, and it's $30 for a year to post your songs to iTunes. And what it means is that the prices are all set at default, so you don't have any adjustment of the pricing. So every song is 99 cents, and then iTunes prices the album. So you don't have a ton of getting to pick and choose, but for a higher fee, the fees get up and you get to different types of packages. But there are other fees where you could adjust the pricing yourself, sell a song, say, for $1.29 as opposed to 99 cents, have songs where you can only get the song if you buy the entire album. There's a lot of that as you get higher up into the levels. But so we paid the flat rate of the $30 for a year. And from there, it was we uploaded the WAV files for each song. And then it's very, very it's a really nice software, but you upload the files and it saves those, and from there you enter the information about the CD, the singer, the songwriter, the genre, what the album's called, and your cover art, and then you send it in for approval, and if iTunes approves it, then it gets published for that $30 fee.
And how long did the approval process take?
I'm pretty sure it took about a week. It took about a week.
Wow, that's pretty fast. Didn't take that long at all. We have a question in the chat, which and I picked up on it a minute ago too. When you say we, you know, we were doing it. Are you talking about you and your mom?
Yes, my mother
okay.
And I we were the ones who worked on it together.
Right. Yeah. Because one of the things I was thinking is that there was somebody else helping you with the music, but it's all your work, all your writing, all your singing, all your playing on the instruments, correct?
Composed all the music. My mother was the one who sort of went around and figured out which websites to use and how to sort of publicize the entire ordeal.
Very good. Now, your mom also helped you out with your press coverage.
Yes.
Because you did get some local press. In fact, I have a link to the newspaper article. How did that come about?
Well, my mom wrote a paragraph and submitted it to the newspaper called the Mechanicsville Local, and just with a picture of me, very simple. She's going to Europe. You should help support this local student. And she submitted it to the Mechanicsville Local, and they did decide to run the story. And they also ran it in our monthly newsletter called Good News for Our Church. And from the newspaper, one of the reporters from NBC 12, which is our local news station, the education director of NBC 12, she found us through that newspaper article and offered to do an interview with me while I was in school. And so she came to my school one day, and we ran through the interview, and she recorded me. And then a night later, she aired that story on the 6 o'clock news. I believe it was the 6 o'clock news, and she aired my story there, and obviously it was in the newspapers after that slightly, but it was really interesting. It was very cool.
It is very cool, and I watched a video as well. I guess it was on YouTube. I think it was loaded by a family member of you at a talent show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I performed at our school has an annual talent showcase every year where kids audition and you get picked and you get to perform. And I've done it for the past 2 years, and this year I decided I wanted to go up there and do my thing. So at that talent show, I performed my song Storms Past, and then after the show we sold CDs and we had people buying it off iTunes after the show. So it was a really successful marketing opportunity, I think, and it's very fun to perform, so that was an added plus.
I don't know. I tell you, AK, I don't know. One, I can't sing. Two, I can't play an instrument. And to be able to do all of this with all this technology and stand on stage, and I'm in awe. I can't do it.
That's why we do radio, Deb.
I'm sorry?
That's why we do radio.
That's why we do radio.
Yeah.
Well, we would do video too, but one of us won't do the video part. I have to bust on AK. There's the jingle that we just played when we started the show, Dana, was uploaded by a friend of ours from New York, and they use SoundCloud. And I'm not familiar enough with SoundCloud. I know you could upload it, but I don't think you could sell your music there, can you?
Actually heard of it. I've never used it before, but I've heard of it through a program I did called School of Rock with one of my very close friends. Her father runs it, and her father mentioned it because she and I have written a couple of songs together, and because we don't see each other a ton at school anymore, and we both have our various things that sort of get in the way of us actually getting together and writing music, I know it's a way to upload and share your music with other people, and he suggested that we use that to collaborate some more on songs for some other performances this summer, but I don't know much more than that.
Okay. Yeah, I have to check into it. Before we move into your actual trip and what you're going to be doing, I have a text message here. I have a question. And it says here that Dana has some very geeky parents. And we should ask Dana that her dad uses the iPad for flying. I'm baffled. How does your dad use an iPad for flying?
Okay. My dad has been flying small propeller planes for a very long time, for quite a few years. And what he does is we have a GPS unit in our airplane, and every airplane has a tail number, and ours is 3999XY. And so he's able to – there are various apps that you can download off the App Store that connect to that GPS system and act as a GPS, and you can enter in the information for your airplane, so your airplane's model and its tail number and all of the other various statistics about the airplane. And what the iPad will do is that there are apps that you can enter a flight plan, so your starting destination, your ending destination, and all of your waypoints, and the iPad will be like a bigger GPS for you. And it has all the charts and maps for the United States on it, so it's a really it's much easier than having to go through all of the aviation books. It's just, it's a convenience thing, and it's much faster too when you're actually in the air.
Cool. See, that's very good. Okay, now the other question. This is a two-part question. Is ask Dana, how did you get your sister and your and the rest of your family involved in this? You've talked about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
I know your mom is very involved with the Creative Memories. Is it Creative Memories?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And you have a sister. So what is it that your sister's doing?
Yes, my sister's 10, and she's also into music. She doesn't play an instrument, but she does sing, and she's done some various theater here and there. And about a year ago, maybe a little more, her and I and two of our friends, we actually collaborated and wrote a song. And one of the songs on the CD actually has her in it. We wrote a few harmonies, and she had a little rap sequence because she really wanted to do a rap. And she's 10, and I think we're very close, and it's good that we have a relationship like that because she's a great vocalist, so it's good because you can work with other musicians like that, and it was good to have her input throughout the writing process.
Very good. That is getting the family involved. Of course, now we know that your grandmother is involved, Ronnie Bealey, from Newcastle, Delaware, and that's how I end up knowing you, because Ronnie's computer explorers, and she's a geek herself in technology. So it really does run in the whole family.
Yes, I but, guess you could say that. We all sort of like our computers.
You like your computers. But let me see. Let's tell on your grandpa, Bill. I don't imagine Bill being very geeky. Is he?
He's
listening, I'm sure. So go ahead and tell him now.
He's not
geeky. No. No Facebook.
Not really. No,
no smartphones.
He has a smartphone, but
oh, that's
he's
good.
Not really as active with it as our family is.
You better get with the program.
He's a good guy, though.
Okay, so now this is the area that AK loves, and it's blogging. So I think if you need someone, Dana, to pick someone's brain now about blogging and platforms, it's going to be AK. But when you go on this people-to-people ambassador trip, and you're going to, what, 8 different countries?
7, yes.
7 different countries. I'm assuming here you're going to document your trip. You're going to do live blogging while you're away?
Yes, we're probably going to set up a WordPress account, and there I would post little, I guess you could call them blog entries, little journal entries from every day of my trip, every day that I was able, about what I'd done that day and what I'd seen and sort of my thoughts on that. And the other thing is, with the actual program, part of the requirement is that students in the program keep a journal with them, a paper pencil journal. And so I think that'll also be helpful with the blogging. But the WordPress site should be up sometime next week because our school gets out on this Friday. And I do plan on using that a lot because I love writing, not just songwriting, but writing in general. And I'm really looking forward to doing that.
Good. What about any photo sites, Instagram or Flickr? I'm sure you're going to be taking a bunch of pictures.
I don't have an Instagram, and I don't have any Flickr accounts for photo sharing, but I do believe that we'll be using some type of a website to post pictures because my mom would die if she couldn't see pictures. Let's say that.
Well,
she'd die.
Yeah, because once you get back, you have to do the whole Creative Memories. Now, the Creative Memories that I'm familiar with, it's a matter of putting the pictures in albums. You print them and you put them in album. Is there a Creative Memories online version?
Yes.
Oh.
Creative Memories has expanded a lot. Now they have a lot of digital and online. They're very intuitive and focused on that.
Cool. Well, you'll be very busy. So now how much money do you have to raise yet?
We're trying to raise about $2,500 more, around there, give or take a few dollars would be awesome. But we do have time constraints, so we recognize that.
Yeah, you leave in a few short weeks, correct?
Yes, we leave on July 5th.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
What ways are you doing to promote and let people know about your music?
Well, through school, a lot, the administration at my school has been very helpful, and we there's a poster in our school that says support Dana under people to people, and from there it's a lot of just word of mouth, spreading the word, sending out emails saying, hey, tell your friends to buy this, and we've got obviously our family, and they tell their friends to buy it, and the press has obviously been a real help because since that news broadcast, a lot of people have seen it and been like, oh, I'll help support this girl. This sounds interesting. So that's really helpful. But a lot of it's been through just telling my friends and them telling their friends and through there just sort of spreading by word of mouth.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? And I'm going to have to ask this, but as I think when we talked the other day, you personally don't have a Facebook page yet, correct?
No, I do. I don't have a Facebook page.
That's okay. I mean, it's that you're following the Facebook laws. I mean, I know you're of age now. Your mom, do you think your mom or family will be sharing any of the – well, if you've got the WordPress site, if you have the blogging site, then your family and friends can be sharing on their pages your links to your WordPress so they can keep up on what's going on and where you are and what you've done.
Yes. As of now, that's – what we're planning to do, and also we have the links to the albums on iTunes posted on my parents' Facebooks and my friends' Facebooks,
mm-hmm.
and the like and share features. Good for that. So that's sort of been spreading that way as well, and I plan to use WordPress probably the same way, and once I have the site up, I'll send my friends and family the URL so they can keep up.
Oh, yes. I'd like to get it, too, so I like to see what's happening.
Then do you have it so we can post it on our Facebook page?
Okay, that sounds good, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to your music a little bit, because your music came long before you wanting to take this trip. What was the inspiration for you to write these certain songs?
Okay. So I was in fourth grade when I started writing songs in an actual notebook. I mean, I grew up, my household, my mom sang, my sister sang, so we all sort of grew up with that music background, and my mother would always be playing the piano. And I didn't actually play an instrument at the time I started. I just sang these songs or whatever. And in about the fourth grade, when we were starting to become aware of all the pop stars and all of that, I thought it would be cool to actually write songs that no one had heard before and not just sing covers of stuff that other people had done. And so I got out a notebook, and I would just write down lyrics here and there, and I would sing them and remember them. I'd just do it by memory. I'd sing it over and over and over until it was stuck in my head. And then from there, I filled up my first, quote, song notebook by probably about the sixth grade, the beginning of the sixth grade. And then from there, I got another one. And in that second notebook, that was when I started – I started playing guitar in the fifth grade. And from there, as I learned more about music theory and more about how the actual music works, reading it on a staff, that kind of thing, from there I was able to go deeper into it and was able to come up with the accompaniment and everything and start learning about the theory and what goes behind it and what sounds good and this sounds like this and makes a listener feel like whatever emotion they would want to feel based on how I use the notes. And so learning that was very helpful. And I started writing, I think my songs just got better. And the eight that I picked for this album were the ones that I felt showcased the highest extent of what I could do. And these eight songs, I've written them in various time spans all about over the past year and a half. I think those have been, but there are various others that I've written, a couple that I've even written chords and music for, but that didn't get onto the album. And I hold all of them very near and dear to my heart, but I just think that these eight were very special to me, and that when I wrote them, I was really, like, there with the music. I could feel it, and I knew that was going to – how they were going to come out sort of before it happened. And that was what made them the eight that I picked.
Is there a particular artist that you would love to – recognize your music and sing it themselves?
Well, I love a lot of different various bands, but one of my favorite singers of all time is Sarah Bareilles, and she's been out on iTunes and making
mm-hmm.
amazing music for years and years and years. And she's coming out with actually a new album in July, but she has an amazing voice, and she's also a singer-songwriter. And We always talked. There was one song on my CD called Pains of a Child that we said, oh, Sarah Bareilles should sing this song. Sarah Bareilles should sing it. And I really look up to her as an artist because her songs are just unbelievably good. And her arrangements of them are great, too, because she works in a studio, so she has many, many people doing these arrangements, but she's overseeing the whole thing. And the fact that she started that song in her room somewhere, just writing it with a paper and a pen and a melody in her head, is just a really cool idea because that's what I do. And then there are various bands that I don't necessarily think that they would sing my songs, but I just really look up to them as artists. I really like Paramore because their lyrics, I think, are very poetic and powerful, and I like that about them. And Imagine Dragons, I think, they're a rock group, and I think that they're just very groundbreaking in that sort of alternative rock genre, and I really like what they did with their arrangements and their instrumental parts especially.
Mm-hmm. And what about, I know I saw the YouTube video, but what about filming yourself performing? Have you thought about, you know, filming it, video, and then putting it on YouTube, or I'm sure there's a site where you could sell the videos, I guess. I'd have to look into it.
Yes, we recorded, obviously, the video of me at the talent show. It was mostly for the audio,
right,
because iPhone video quality in the dark is not the greatest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On the news broadcast, they use bits and pieces of me performing, and a lot of my friends have always been into making music videos. There was an app that we have called Video Star, and it's where you can take a song that you have on your iPod, and it basically what it does is that there are different effects that you can put onto the video, and it eliminates the outside sound so that you just hear the sound from the music and you can sing to that. And they always said they always love doing these Video Stars, so they're like, you need to make a music video using Video Star, but
mm-hmm.
And we don't know where that will go, really. We haven't really thought about that much, I guess, but I guess now we can.
Well, and AK, do you have any suggestions on what she or her mom can do with maybe Pinterest?
Oh, gosh. I don't know about kind of leading up to the trip, but it would definitely be some, you know, platform for using it during the trip, or maybe running searches on Pinterest, kind of using keywords with the areas that you're going to be traveling to see kind of pictures that people are already posting and things about the areas. So I don't know about posting music to Pinterest. I don't know if there's a real good way to do that, unless it was visual and you did sort of YouTube video.
Well, yeah, I was thinking if she actually records some of her songs on the trip and has someone film it, a YouTube video, then I would think the video itself could go on Pinterest and it could be tagged to iTunes to download. I don't know. I'm trying to brainstorm some ideas here for you, Dana, so that you don't go and come back and say, oh, I wish I would have done whatever.
I definitely think Instagram would be worth downloading to take the pictures and store those on
Instagram. Definitely on Instagram because, yeah, you could tag it. Your whole Instagram profile could be your album name and then all the pictures that you're loading to Instagram as you go on the trip. Yeah, you should look into that. That would be great.
I can sort of visualize that. A few of my friends are on these various sites, so I know a little bit about some of them. But yeah, Pinterest definitely sounds like a valuable resource, so does Instagram. So I'll definitely think about that. That sounds
very
good. Okay.
Well, I think I have picked your brain as much as I can pick tonight. Anything more, AK, that you have to add here?
I do have a question, Dana. So what are your songs about? Like, where do you get your topics from?
My topics come from generally things that directly affect me or directly affect someone I'm very close to. So a lot of times, a lot of singer-songwriters are all about writing the love songs or the breakup songs, and my friends would be, why don't you have any of these? It's because it's never happened to me, and that's just an example. I can't write about something that I don't really feel close to. So when I do write a song, it's because I hear something, it just comes to me sort of in a little flash or whatever, or I see something outside and I think this could be a lyric here. or a title or a melody. And from there, I'm able to sort of work from that and build that song around that. And a lot of times it's affected by a conversation I've just had or something that's just happened to me or one of my friends. That's a lot of times what it comes from. The songs on this album are mostly based on my life experiences and how I see the lives of others on this planet as a whole. I guess the way that I would summarize the album is it's about all of our various flaws, and there are the flaws that make us quirky and make us cute and make us fun to be around and human, sort of those things. And then there are the flaws that sort of go deeper, that are more the darker side of things, and that make us, that show our, that our nature as humans is both bright and it is both dark, and we need to sort of lean towards that bright. And I think there are some songs that make you kind of think about that, and there are some that are just fun and uplifting. And I sort of wanted to create that contrast because that's how I guess I am. I mean, in life, you're forced to look at a lot of terrible things, but again, there are so many good things, and I think it's good to acknowledge both of that, especially through music.
Very good. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Well, can you give us any links? I think with iTunes, folks would have to go in and just search for the album. I'm going to send out a link when I tweet here in a little bit, and I'll put it on the Facebook page. But do you have links that you can share with us on how folks can find your album or donate money if they just want to donate to the trip?
Yes, if you want to buy our album on iTunes, you can just search my name, Dana Slayton, into the search bar, and that works just fine. If you want to buy the hard copy CD, you can contact us via email. My mother's email is dietaslayton@alumni.utexas.net, and mine is dksp@comcast.net. And to order the CD from us, you can also call us. We're in Virginia, so our 804-651-5193. It's 804-651-5193. You can call us there to order the hard copy album or the iTunes album. Just search Dana Slayton, whatever is most convenient for you.
Very good. Okay, I'll have those links when I do the wrap-up. So, very good. Have a great trip. I really want to see the pictures and learn about your experience. And I bet if you dig into blogging as much as you have in writing music, you're going to have some wonderful posts. And I know I have listening somewhere, either on the computer or the phone line, is our friend Cindy Perkins, who blogs about travel. And I didn't ask her permission, but I bet she would love to have you guest blog for her, on her site and talk about what you've done. So,
yeah, that'd be great.
Keep it journaled. Very good. Very good. Well, if you'd like to hang on, you can. We're going to move it into our Geek It Out segment, but it's been a lot of fun talking to you and learning so much from you. And I just received a message from Cindy. She thanked me. She said, yes, she would love to have you guest blog. So I've recruited you out. I didn't ask either party, but... Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have fun, and we'll download some of those singles, and anxious to hear more about your trip afterwards.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
That music just blew my eardrums, and I haven't heard that one in so long. I forgot all about that one.
It was attention grabbing, and it was new. I liked that.
It was the very first one that we had. I don't even remember who did that one for us. Okay, so it's time for Geek It Out.
All right. Well, before I get into the sites, just a couple of updates from around the web that I wanted to mention. I guess the one is an app. But just to let everybody know, in case you didn't, that Vine finally came out for Android yesterday.
Woo!
Yay! So I downloaded it, and people knew that I was just dying to get it on Android. And so as soon as it came out, I was bombarded by people who were telling me that it was there. And I haven't done my first Vine yet. I'm having, like, Vine performance anxiety because I feel this pressure to, like, make this really awesome 6 seconds for my first Vine.
Well,
I haven't done anything, especially because I have this air cast on and I'm on crutches. I'm pretty much housebound and there's nothing around interesting enough to buy.
Oh, darn. Yeah, I was going to say next. I mean, you go to Starbucks, so hobble over to Starbucks and do the Faces of Starbucks.
Yeah.
Similar to what Beige Anderson did at Fran Camp and the Faces of Fran Camp. I mean, I think he just did a good job with that. And
yeah.
Of course, I don't know how legal that is, but hey, if people can walk around with Google Glasses.
That's true, yeah.
You could certainly film a little bit of Vine. And now I'll throw Sarah under the bus here and say, you need to get Sarah to come over.
Yeah, yeah.
The other geeky girl.
With something. And I have done a couple of tests to try to figure out how to use it, and I didn't get the clicking at first, like the...
So oh, just tap and hold?
Yeah, I was like, the first one I did, I did the dogs, and I was like tapping every 5 seconds, so all you can hear is me tapping, and then it's just like tick, 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 like, and I'm like, no, this is all wrong.
So let it be known, AK was not a pro with the tech at the first try.
Nope, but I think I may have the hang of it now, we'll see what comes of it, so... Vine for Android is out. Pinterest came out with something called Rich Pins. And it's a little involved on how you would add. It's something that you would actually add to your site if you want it to work with people pinning things from your website or your blog. And you're going to start seeing them when you're using Pinterest yourself. And it's for recipes, for products, and for movies. And essentially what this is, it's sort of like an expanded pin. You'll see more information on the pin. So for like a recipe, you'll actually see like how many servings it makes. And you'll see the website where it comes from. And for products, if it's from Etsy or if you have a product on the platform Shopify, they're integrating with it. And there's some other big retailers that have some Target is part of it already. And then for movies, you'll get to see, the running time, the ratings, the actors, and so forth. But it's very, very involved, actually, on how you actually get it, get your own site sort of compatible with it. Pinterest actually has a developer site. So if you just Google Pinterest developer site, you can get to it with all the code, and you need somebody way more technical than myself. Actually add this code onto your site. But if you do, products are your thing or, you really, really, really feel passionate about your recipe blog and, doing it that way, it would definitely be worth having somebody tech savvy to help integrate that to your website. So if you do see that on Pinterest, that's what that's about. And then Google... unveiled something this week, which was a nutrition search. So it's for over 1,000 food products where you can go into Google on your mobile device or on your computer, and you can type in nutrition information for bananas, and it'll actually pop up with nutrition information for those products. So it's kind of Google's part of trying to help us all be more conscious about what we eat and have that information more readily available to us.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Okay, cool.
So that's that. All right, so the sites that I have for you, the first one is one that I've been trying out this afternoon, and Deb and a few others on here know about it because I was including them in my tweets about it, trying to test it out before I unveiled it on the show. It's called Nestivity. So it's N-E-S T-I-V-I-T-Y, the Nestivity. And I'm actually just going to give you a very brief interview because one of the things that you can do with it's Twitter. It's a Twitter application, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is you can have your own page, and then people can come in and they can tweet to you or they can tweet, about you using your username. And that's sort of all gathered in one section. But you can also have projects, and you can have community, or you can have discussion. So for, if you guys want to check out mine, it's akstout18.nestivity.com, just so you can see what the layout looks like. And then if you want to see what the discussion looks like or the project, I started a project called Social Geek Radio, which you'll see when you get to the page, and we'll post this on our Facebook page as well. And then I started a discussion that says, help us plan Social Geek Radio for you. So, you know, looking for Social Geek Radio guests or topics that people want to hear more about or submissions for sites during Geek It Out. So what you can do is you can go in and you can actually tweet to me through here. You can incorporate the hashtags because it shows the hashtags. It looks really neat. So it's sort of a way to form a better, more involved community that integrates with Twitter. So you could, the communication that you have on the site is also streaming through Twitter, so people can actually follow along on the site. So as the sort of the manager of the page, you have all of this happening on one site and you have control over it. But because it's all also posting to Twitter, it's capable of getting many more people involved in the discussion based on the exposure on Twitter. So
when it says it's trending, is it trending just on Nestivity? Because Social Geek Radio is at the top, is trending. It has, my guess is it's only trending on this site.
It's trending on my tweets.
On your tweets, okay.
My tweets, yeah. So for my page that I set up, aside from the Social Geek Radio project, I just said, you know, you can come to my community. It prompts you to either share an experience where you would tweet to me something that you're doing or working on, post an idea, or you can ask me questions. So I thought people could come here and ask me social media type questions. But anyway, so as I'm tweeting all of this, and I actually learned about it from Ted Rubin. I've been following Ted Rubin a lot because I read his book, Return on Relationship, which is an excellent book. I highly recommend it. I think it was, I want to say it was Dave Delaney who mentioned that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Dave.
Yeah, and he was on it. It was a very, very good book. So I started following him. I love Ted Rubin on Twitter because he practices what he preaches. If you include him in a tweet, he will absolutely hands down respond to you. So I saw his tweet today that he was testing out Nestivity. And I thought, well, if Ted Rubin is doing it, I need to check it out. So that's how I learned about it. So I was really involved with this. And the Nestivity account, which is at Nestivity, they saw it. They saw my tweets, and they started responding really quickly, which I appreciated. And they actually responded to my call-out for Social Geek Radio guests, and they asked if they could be a guest on the show.
Cool.
So the president, CEO of the company, is Deb didn't even know this yet.
And when is he or she going to be on?
Yeah. No, I haven't. That's as far as we've gotten. So
okay.
We need to set that up. So I was – so many great features, so, and I know that was very quick. So you guys will have to follow along with us.
How many guests we've had on the show because of what you have found in your search, and then we've asked them to come on the show. I mean, it goes from Rafflecopter to Here on Biz to Charity Miles. We've had several.
Yep. I mean, they're all doing a good job of getting themselves out there.
They are, but I think the best thing, too, is they're getting themselves out there and they engage with you or us.
Right, because if I had just been posting about Nestivity and they hadn't responded back, then that would be their loss.
It is their loss.
Kudos to them for, you know, for responding right away.
Yeah, I agree.
So, more about Nestivity in a later show. The next I have is called Mamuna. I'm not even really sure how to say it, but it's M-A-M-U-N-A. So M as in mom, A M as in mom, U N as in Nancy, A. And this site is where you can find websites, blogs, crowdsourcing tools, just other types of tools, applications around a certain topic. So they have a video when you first go to Mamuna.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Watch websites. Like, if you, I think their example was if you type in photography, you can find all of these different sites where people are, you know, whether it's a forum again or a blog talking about that topic. So I went in and I typed in gadgets, and I found all these really, really neat sites about gadgets that's now going to take up a lot of my time because I have all of these cool sites that I had never known about, and you can search them by critics' ratings, user ratings, popularity, submission dates, and all other stuff. So it's a really, really good resource for finding places that you can go and sort of interact with other people around a common topic.
Cool.
And while I was looking on the site, I stumbled upon a site that I think I may have introduced in a Geek It Out a long, long, long time ago, but I couldn't find it in any of my archives. So I wanted to introduce it or reintroduce it, whatever the case may be. And this one is called Fixya. It's F-I-X, the fix, and then Y-A. So F-I-X-Y-A.com. And I know I have used this before, where you can literally go in and find out kind of a how-to fix anything that you want to. I mean, I was able to go in and find the specific model of TV I have and find a very specific problem. But, I mean, all types of things. You can kind of see areas where you can choose from on the home page here, but you can load more. I mean, you know, any home appliance, you have trouble with your refrigerator or your washer and dryer, you can come in here and you can click on the subject or you can just type in a search query at the top. I've tried just playing with it to see how specific it'll get, and it's really, really, really good. So,
problem support. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you need something fixed, then you want to fix it yourself. It's just got you covered.
No, if you need something fixed and you need to find the instructions and then give it to somebody else to fix it, you come to the site. I'm not fixing anything myself. Sorry. I'll buy it. I'm not fixing it.
Well, it'll also tell you the parts that you need. So, like, for my TV,
I could see that.
It's crowdsourced, so it's other people who have had the same problems who are now answering questions and, you know, helping solve problems. So, if there was one that I looked up for my TV, it was telling me what part I needed and who I needed to contact and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that was
good.
And the last one I want to tell you about, because we're running out of time, is my app of the week. Which is Scout GPS Navigation and Traffic. So it's just S-C-O-U-T. And it's for Android and iPhone. I don't know about the other ones because I can't find, like, a general site for it. I can only look it up in each of those different things. But it is for GPS and navigation and traffic. But it has so many other great features. You can get reviews. It's pulling from Yelp reviews. The navigation is really helpful. It'll reroute you. It will tell you where all of the traffic cameras are. It'll give you information about all the accidents. If you're looking for a place to eat, you know where you are. It pulls off of your GPS. It's really like kind of like a Yelp and a Google Maps and like some of the older location, like local, kind of all tied into one.
Oh, good.
Shows you the cheapest gas. Based on your geographic location. So I like it for kind of bringing all of those things together in one app.
That's cool. Okay, I'm downloading that one.
Yeah.
I see coffee, I see gas, food, ATM. It needs to, what's the sit and squat? It needs to combine sit and squat.
Oh, yeah.
But you went at a gas station. Okay, well, we are out of time. Very good. Thank you. Those were all really good.
Great.
So I guess until next week or the week after, we talk to everybody then. So have a good night, and I'll play the right song this time, I think. Let's see if I can play it. Bye, AK, and thanks again to Dana.
Mother, your hips.